All right, everybody, welcome back. Home Improvement Show, Hour 2. We got our 97.1 FM fans into the mix now, KMOX and 97.1. So we should have plenty going on for everybody in this second hour here. Remember, you can find us 314-436-7900. I'm here today with one of my coworkers, Nick Keel. We're talking exteriors, outside the house, decks, all sorts of stuff. We've had some great questions, some great conversations in the first hour. So glad you all can join us in the second hour. And speaking of joining us in the second hour, we got Jerry on the line. Let's go straight there and see what's happening. Hey, Jerry, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for your service. I have a story and a half all brick home that was built about 1942, and on the ends of the house it has a vents, you know, at the peak, and then it has a ridge vent. In about 1958, an addition was added, which is all brick. And a roof in the attic. It's a gable roof. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, if it kind of goes up like a triangle, and then on the siding or the brick, it's got that triangle-shaped or rectangle vent. Yeah, that's a gable.
Yeah, it has brick. I'm sorry. Yep. It has a triangle vent in the bottom and on the roof. And there's a small ventilation coming up from just behind the gutters.
Okay.
This roof also has, or they have an exhaust fan up there, a big one, you know, that goes on with a thermostat. Is that a very good setup, or can you tell, what do you think?
Well, so that is, that can cause some problems having that big fan, just because of if it kicks on and it's a big fan and it moves a whole lot of air, it can possibly move too much air and move more air than it can get in from where it's supposed to get it in down by the gutters. So your intakes, where you were just describing, down by your gutter, and then you've got the gable vents on those triangle-shaped walls that used to be your exhaust, and that's where the air would try and pass through from one side to the other and pull air out of the house, and it brings it in from under the gutter. Your ridge vent now is that exhaust. So the thing that can happen with the fan is if it kicks on and it starts pulling a whole lot of air, it can actually pull more what we call CFMs, more air than the intake can bring in. And if that were to happen, then what happens is it needs to get that air from somewhere else. So it gets it from the ridge vent or it gets it from your house. Sometimes it'll pull the conditioned air right around your attic access, kind of piece of drywall on the ceiling, around can lights, around light fixtures, ceiling fans, any gap in the ceiling or any penetration in the ceiling, it could then pull conditioned air out of the house through that.
Okay.
So that's why those fans, it's better if you can get things working naturally than using a power fan, because it just could, it could work too good.
Yeah. And a lot of times you see the gable vents being blocked off when the ridge vent is added. It sounds like this case didn't happen when the ridge vent was added. It sounds like they did not block the gable.
Yeah. Vents. Are some of those gable vents in brick? Does the brick go up to the gable, or is there like a siding?
No. It's the original house. It's it has siding, you know.
Okay.
Up to the up to the peak of the roof.
Yep.
The new addition is a gable roof. Okay, and it has a large triangle right there, you know, where it comes out. And they block that off and then put this exhaust fan in, I guess, thinking to get it to, you know, pull the air from the original house and then the new addition, pull it out.
Yeah.
So you think that might, it could be pulling air in from other places in the house.
It could, or what happens is because it's up high and it's in one of those gable vents, it basically pulls air from the ridge vent, and it doesn't really pull air from as much down low where it should pull the air from, because there's a source so close to it that it'll get most of its air from there.
Okay.
So that's why when you get the ridge vent, we always recommend you want the intake to be so far away. So when you get a ridge vent, you have gable vents, we recommend you go inside the attic and block those from the inside so the ridge vent doesn't pull air in from that gable vent, which is like 3 feet away. You want it to pull it from the bottom of the roof under the gutters all the way up to the top.
Yeah.
And that's how it can work naturally. So I would
definitely,
I think you've got enough going on where it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to have a professional look in that attic and really kind of go, okay, do you need this fan? Are there issues happening? Do you have enough intake to work with the ridge vent? Because sometimes a lot of houses don't. And so you've got so much exhaust and not enough intake, you could actually end up needing to just block the gable vents and find more intake down by the gutters, possibly, because that's the thing with roofers is they get taught, well, you put this ridge vent on and you put it on like this, and it's the best way to exhaust an attic. And that's very true. But they don't really get taught how the attic should be and how it should breathe and how it should work and where should it come in, because where it comes in, that's a siding person, not a roofing person. So they got to be able to know both or co-mingle to really make it work. So trying to educate people on both and have someone that understands both can be hard to do, but I would definitely say you might be in enough spot, because probably if you have good enough intake by your gutters, I would say get rid of the fan, close off the gable vents, and let it work naturally, and you'll probably be fine. But an inspection to find out if you need anything else would be a great thing.
Yeah, and to make sure that the vents that are along in your soffits near the gutters, make sure those have free flow and aren't covered with insulation from the interior as well.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, see, it does not have soffits.
Okay.
And I had new guttering put on, and they had a little, it has a vent, you know, and that's about it.
Yeah.
The air comes in there and goes up to, you know.
So did they put like a drip edge that creates intake venting at the roof?
Then that's a
good thing. You just need to make sure it's not blocked from the interior with insulation or anything like that, and then you could probably function really well.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
Thanks for your help.
Yeah, no problem, Jerry. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's get into our first break of this hour for everybody. And don't forget, 314-436-7900 finds Nick right here. Plenty of time for everybody. Plenty we can talk about, but plenty of time to answer your questions, issues, concerns. Also, don't go anywhere. All right, everybody, we are back. A lot going on today. Had some great, great conversations, questions, and concerns with everybody so far. I've got my Mosby compadre here, Nick Keel, with me today. So anything you need around about, inside, outside your house, we can help you out. 314-436-7900. We'll wait for you to call in with your question for now, but we're going to get into some more about decks on houses. And one thing that's always fascinated me, and something they started about 20 or so years ago with this return on investment, and what are these projects really worth, and how they can kind of mathematically figure this out for different areas. It's kind of a cool thing. But so, Nick, I would ask you, when building decks for clients, what kind of return on investment can homeowners expect when they build a deck project?
Yeah, it's a really good question and a good thing to be thinking about from the beginning of when you start to conceive of building a deck or replacing a deck. There's a lot to be thought of in this regard as far as how much does it cost to build the deck.
Oh, yeah.
That's almost a fix. You know, there's even at Mosby, there's not a lot we can do about what it costs. You know, it costs what it costs. Labor, materials, all the things that go into it. And then what you expect to get back if you were to sell the house is always something you should consider. And the first thing you need to know is you're not going to get 100% back. That's just not going to happen. In remodeling, 60% in any remodeling project, say 60-70% is an excellent return.
Yeah.
You just kind of have to have that mentality.
Yep.
Your enjoyment of it is the rest of the return. How long you're going to use it is the rest of the return. For decks, a lot of this information comes from surveys and realtor groups and remodeling magazines and that sort of thing. And every year there's a list that comes out that's what to expect out of various projects as far as return of investment. And a deck is one of the higher returns of 70 to 78% is what this year's report said. So if you're getting 70 to 78% back on a project and you live in the house for 10 years, well, that's a good investment because you enjoy it.
Yeah.
22% of that is pure enjoyment. And then when you sell the house, you should expect to get 70, 78% back, which is very high in terms of remodeling. So a deck is a good investment in that regard.
Yep. And it's kind of a shame, but it's just the truth. And the more costly labor gets, I think the more costly projects get, and then the harder it is to get a return from that. And I've often spoke about, you got to think about who's doing what and how they're handling it for your enjoyment of when it happens. Was it a good experience? There's things like that that fall into place also that you could be happier. You could have a better deck. You could have a better system to where you enjoyed the workers. You enjoyed that they did it. It wasn't stressful. There was a lot of peace of mind for you, but it cost just a slightly more. So it kind of pulls down that return. But like you said, that return is for you. You're going to be there. You're going to stay. You're going to love it. And looking at that return on investment report, the one Remodeling Magazine does, the amazing thing to me with that is, well, one, there is three projects that actually they say, again, I'm in this kind of hard to believe thing. I take all these reports and stuff with a grain of salt, but there's three that really do go over 100%. It's quite fascinating. But the real fascinating part to the whole report is when they put this together and they figure out which projects do the best for your return on investment of the top 10 projects on the list with the best return on investment. Nine of them are outside the home. They're exterior projects.
Wow, yeah.
It's absolutely fascinating. Mm-hmm. Things have really started to change and take a turn. And so it's really cool to look at that. So the top three, garage doors, manufactured stone is another one, and then the third one is an entry door replacement. Actually, that's second. So it's garage door, entry door, manufactured stone. They're all over 100% return, and they're all outside of the house. It's really crazy, but it's cool. And so what I did was I looked back a little bit and kind of said, okay, so what has happened in the past before all this? And how was it some years ago? And it kind of shows some of these cost increase, because we've talked about these cost increase for ever since COVID started, as this started happening. So I look back at 2018. I said, so how were things then? Well, 9 of the top 12 were exterior jobs still, even pre-COVID.
Wow.
They still were. Kitchens moved up a spot since 2018.
Really?
So they were 5th and now kitchens 4th.
Wow.
But bathrooms fell back and kind of down. They were up a little bit higher and now they're down. But kitchens and bathrooms is really the only other two that kind of play a role in that. But when you look at what they're averaging some of these projects cost, and these are kind of averages, so when you see it, you got to kind of understand that. But since 2018, a garage door cost 25% more than it did then. A steel door, like a front door, you're talking about, you love doors, 35% more. Stone is 28% more.
Wow.
A composite deck is 37% more.
I definitely believe that.
Now, you want to really get freaked out. We've got a new composite deck in 2004. So I tried to go all the way back to where I started with Mosby, but 2004 was the first year that they started saying actual numbers and looking at what the actual projects cost. So in 2004, from then to now, the price of a composite deck has gone up 72%.
Wow, I believe that, honestly. I'm a little surprised it's not more.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah,
how many times are you out there having discussions, talking to people, and they say, well, maybe we're going to wait a year or two. We're going to see what happens.
Well, yeah, if you want to save money in home remodeling, especially a deck or something on the exterior, waiting is not the way to do it. For us on the inside of this, watching the pricing go up, you know, even if you finance a project at a construction loan rate, you're going to save money within a year because the percentage of interest you're paying is going to be less, typically, or close, if not less, than what the increase in cost will be the following year.
Yes.
We're typically double inflation. So we're double the national average of inflation. Home remodeling is typically double, and that's every year. So if it's...
And inflation's, what, so like 2 to 3% or something?
So right now it's hard to say because it's all over the place. But let's say you have 3%. Well, in home remodeling, you're going to have 6%.
Yep.
And that's year over year over year. So if you're waiting a year on a project, that's not a good way to save money. I'll just put it that way. And I know Rich knows that very well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, some of these things, I like seeing this because it's just fascinating how they figure it out, how it changes. But then it can put out a lot of information for everybody out there to say, look at how that's changed. So if you've waited 20 years to build your deck, well, you should have done it 20 years ago because it would have lasted. And you would have paid 72 at least percent, if not more, less, depending on how they do it and who does it and all that kind of mixes into that formula of what gets me a great project. And that's why things change and vary and all of that so much. So, hey, we got to take a break. We can get into more of this. We can get into more of your conversations, your topics, your concerns, your questions right here. We got another half hour for you. 314-436-7900. Keep it right here. Don't go nowhere, and we'll be right back. All right, everybody, we are back. We got a lot going on. We got a lot of great conversations and questions and topics going on with decks and all about around the house. And we've got Jan on the phone has a question, I think, about a patio there. Jan, are you with us?
I am. Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Well, I have a concrete patio that I've had for, I guess, maybe about 7 years now, and the concrete needs to be cleaned. I don't have a power washer, and I think I'd almost be a little bit afraid to use one on it because I know you have to be very careful with those. But I was wondering, is there any kind of a cleaner that I can put on there and just use like one of those big whisk brooms to clean it?
Yes.
And then also, once I do get it cleaned, is there a sealer I can put on that? And then my third question, if I can be so bold as to ask one, is the expansion joint in the concrete has split all the way through, and I don't want to get things started growing in there. Is there some kind of like maybe a silicone or something that I can put in there to protect that?
Yes, absolutely. So all three great questions. And yes, my first question would be, do you know your concrete? What is the finish on the concrete? Is it the exposed aggregate where you see all the rocks? Or is
it just
a flat concrete?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's what they call broom finish. It's just a concrete color. Okay, perfect. So yes, so for cleaning, there are products out there. Wet and Forget makes a product that they claim, I don't know that it's 100%, but they claim on a lot of things that they do, you just put it, you get the surface wet, you spray this on it, you let it sit, you spray it off, and it cleans everything. And you might even be able to not even have to scrub it. Now, depending on how much is there and that, you're probably going to have to scrub it. But that's okay. But there is cleaners like that for concrete, for the mildew and all that that gets on there that you can put on there, scrub it with your bristle brush, and rinse it all off, and it should come pretty clean pretty well. So that is definitely doable. I would try Wet and Forget. I just heard about a new product that they have for cleaning windows that basically you hook this to your hose, like one of the bottles, and it sprays, and you can just window screens everything. Spray these windows, let it run down, and it cleans the outside of the windows. It'll spray 25, 30 feet in the air. You can do your second floor windows with a garden hose and not have to worry about it anymore. So there's a lot of neat, cool products like that out there that you can get at the big box stores. So
that was going to be my question, if I could get it like Home Depot or Lowe's or something.
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect.
Can. So that works out really well. Sealers are the same way, but you have to really watch sealers and the type that you use and how they go on, because there's sealers out there that are more like a silicate-based sealer. They're clear. You don't see them. You spray them on, and they go into the pores of the concrete. I'm not a big fan of what we call a topical sealer, like when you roll it on and it makes the concrete shiny. I would try and stay away from that and try and see if you can find a silicate-based that you spray it on kind of like with a bug sprayer type of bottle, and it soaks in, it fills the pores, and then you don't really see that sheen, and it works better than the topical, and it lasts longer. It'll still wear away, but it'll last a lot longer. Some of them will say they'll last 5 to 10 years before you need to seal again. That I'm not real certain on if you can get a lot of those from a big box store, and you might consider contacting B&W Concrete for applying the sealer.
But
at least maybe have a conversation about it, what they use and how they do it and what does it cost. And maybe you go that route for the sealing part of it, or at least find the silicate base that you don't see that sprays on like that, if you can.
Yeah. I guess this.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, I guess B&W could also like clean it for me.
Well, they can power wash it, they can seal it,
okay,
and they can caulk the expansion joints and control joints if you want them to.
Okay.
So they could do all of it. Or you could even break it up and say, well, I'm going to try and clean it myself because I got a $30 bottle of cleaner. We're going to see how well it works. And if it doesn't work well, you're only out $30 and a little bit of effort. Mm-hmm. If it does work well, then you just have them come seal and then consider caulking. Because, yes, your third question about the expansion joints, and there's control joints when they crack, it's definitely good to caulk those cracks, to caulk any of those joints to keep the water on top of the concrete and running away and not going underneath the concrete. But it's not a silicone. It's a urethane-based. You can buy this type of concrete caulk at the big box stores. And the main thing you got to watch out for is the color, because there's kind of like a gray and then there's like a tan. Mm-hmm. What do you want the color to be? And then there's some that's self-leveling and there's some that's not. And it will depend on how flat the concrete is. If it's on somewhat of a hill, you're not going to want the self-leveling because it can literally run down the hill.
Right. So, no, this is flat.
Yeah, so if it's pretty flat, you can use the self-leveling. You put what they call a backer rod, in the crack. You fill it so that the caulk won't run down. You can buy this rod in many different sizes, so you kind of measure your opening. And if you have a crack that's a quarter inch wide, then you're going to buy a foam rod that's about a quarter to 3/8, and you're going to jam it down in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can apply this caulk that's self-leveling. So you just kind of put it in slow and let it kind of level itself as you go, and it'll sit nice and flat and smooth.
Okay.
Yep. So it can all be done yourself.
Okay.
Just depends on how adventurous you are.
Oh, I like to do things as much as I can by myself.
Yeah, that's great. Yep, you're on the right track, and you had three perfectly great questions for concrete.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate the advice.
Yep, not a problem. You're very, very welcome. Glad we can help.
Thank you.
Yep, we're going to jump into our final break of the show here, so more to come after this. Again, if you got something for the last segment, you can give us a call, 314-436-7900, and stay tuned. We'll be here. Welcome back, everybody. Home Improvement Show. We've got a couple of calls on the line in a limited time, so we're going to get right to Rosemary and see what's happening there. Rosemary, you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I had called late last week and I didn't get all my questions in. So I had a new patio put in, which was exposed advocate, and I didn't do steps for it. And I have two sliding glass doors where the steps need to go.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking of putting a composite steps because of the weight of doing concrete steps on the patio. Is that something I could do, or what do you suggest?
Oh, so you've got a newer exposed aggregate patio, and you've got like maybe 16 inches or something from there to the bottom of your door coming in, coming out from outside. Is that what you're saying?
They did the whole patio up to the doors, but I don't have, when they took out the old patio, I had steps to get into the into the sliding glass door to the house.
Yep.
So I didn't know if that would be okay or not, because someone told me that putting concrete steps put so much weight on the patio.
Well, it does, and it is good to prepare for that when they're putting the patio in to hold that weight. But you can, yes, you're exactly in the right spot, and the biggest thing for you is going to be what happens underneath the door to the house, to kind of the framing of the house down to the foundation, how those stairs get installed and then flashed so that it doesn't create a leak with wind-driven rains right at the bottom of the door and those new steps. You can basically do a set of stairs just like a deck, composite risers and treads and couple handrails, and you can, yep, you can put that on there, land right on that concrete. And it's really all about how does it look? How does it match the house? How does it match the color of the rock? And then how do they attach it to the house so that it doesn't create any type of leaks or anything like that later on?
Yeah. I've seen like patio, or no, decks, I guess, that have composite, and you see that bowing in some of them. And it's like, I'm like, well, I don't know.
Well, so yeah, that means that they didn't frame it correctly.
And oh, okay.
Because when you build a set of stairs for composite decking material, you're going to have like the wood stringer that they cut to form the stairs with inch and a half wood. You can put one of those stringers about every 2 feet. With the composite decking, you need one of those stringers about every 8 or 10 inches. So it's a lot more framing to support the thinner, kind of more flexible material, but that's what makes it last. So, and unfortunately, in our industry, there's so much incorrectly installed decks and composite material that it gives the material a bad name.
Oh, I see. So do you have a company you suggest that I could try to call about this?
Yep, I've got a guy right here. His name is Nick Keel.
Yeah.
And Mosby Building Arts, we do this type of work. We can not only build the steps, but we can build them correctly, do the rails, do everything to it. I would say call into our office. The number there's 314-909-1800. And just let them know that you talk to us on the air. Say there was a guy named Nick there with them, and I'd like Nick to come to my house and talk to me about these stairs, because he'll do real good for you.
I'm happy to do that. And there is a lot to it, so we'll want to make sure it's installed properly. Like Rich said, not only for the flexibility of the product to make sure it doesn't bow, but also making sure that the band board that it's attached to the house is flashed properly and you don't get any water behind down into your basement, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, give us a call. We can definitely look at it.
Could I ask one other question quickly?
Sure.
When they did the patio, and I had it done last fall, it looks great, and I think they did everything well, except on the exposed advocate, they're like kind of circles of where the rock didn't settle right, and you can see more concrete than the rock itself. Is there anything that can be done about that?
In the mix, the aggregate wasn't fully uniform. There's like, that's really what happened there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough one to fix, that's for sure.
Yeah, I do not know of a fix for that. And with that, I mean, offhand, I think with that product, you're kind of just, it is what it is now. But if you wanted more information, I don't know, you could maybe talk to B&W Concrete about it and say, because they could look at it too, and maybe they've got a different opinion of how it was done or how it happened, and kind of help you out with that maybe.
Well, the person that did it said that he could come out and put a epoxy in that area. Is that something that I should do or no? Or?
Yeah, the only way I'd think that would make sense if you did an epoxy aggregate coating over the whole thing, which is a whole different look. You could consider maybe staining it. I've seen people do that where you stain the whole thing and that bit of white concrete doesn't show up as much because the whole top has been stained. That's probably a better solution, I would guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I would definitely agree with that. And getting back to the deck thing and how Mosby builds these and builds them correctly and flashes decks to a house and a wall and under a door, all of that correctly. There's a lot of reason to get that right. And I've talked a couple different times about my mother's townhouse and that she owns, and it's got a wood deck on it, and the association changed their rules before we got around to working on this deck and said, now you have to do composite decks. And I'll tell you what, I argued with them and I said, this is the problem we have, because you've got all these like $90,000 townhouses and you've got these decks, and everyone that goes to do it isn't going to frame it right, or they're going to use the existing framing and they shouldn't, and they're going to buy a really cheap composite material from Lowe's or Home Depot. I told them, I said, I'm telling you right now, all these decks are going to look horrible in about 2 or 3 years. They're going to be warping, they're going to be waving, mm-hmm. the boards are going to be coming off the side. And I argued with the association, and they let me rebuild the deck and replace the wood and stain it like it was.
Oh, that's
because they ended up agreeing with me. So
thank goodness.
When done wrong, and when tried to do with very little funds, it can really cause those problems in the end. So, but hey, Rosemary, I appreciate it. We're
thank you.
About completely thank you so much. Out of time. You're very, very welcome. Wanted to thank Nick for coming on with me today.
Very welcome.
We did a really great job. You were awesome and answering some questions, and we'll have to have you back sometime so we can do windows and doors and really fulfill that passion you got there. So it'll be fun. We'll do it again. For everybody else out there, be good. Be good to your homes. Be good to each other. And I will talk to everybody again next Saturday. Have a good one.